At this time, we'll call forward our brother Ian McFarlane to exhort us today, and the title of exhortation is "The Aim of Our Charge is Love." Brother Ian.
My dear brothers and sisters and young people, we're certainly very happy to be here with you this week, and we really look forward to what we really believe will be some amazing studies, and really, as we get to know Timothy, what a wonderful example of a young man that's literally frozen in time for us, because to us, he'll always probably be about 40 years of age, maybe 35 to 40. So he's literally frozen in time for us. So we really look forward to spending that time with you this week. The Apostle Paul starts the letter, and he starts it with, he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." And so that's how he begins the letter to Timothy. And he left Timothy with a really, really tough job. Because Timothy, as we see, he's left at a place that was full of wild beasts. And we're not talking about animals. We're talking about people. It was a tough place. And we read that in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So immediately as we're introduced to the letter to Timothy, the apostle is telling him, you have a purpose at Ephesus, and your purpose is going to be that you're going to charge them that they teach no other doctrine. And the idea of charge or give a commandment is really to remind them. You've got to remind the brothers and sisters of the doctrine. They've got to hold fast to that doctrine. And they've got to avoid fables and falsehoods. All these things that they were wrestling with to no value. And so he has to instruct Timothy to really hold on. Now, when you think about it, no doubt discussing this in our discussion groups this week, is what do we really think the main purpose is of the letter or the letters to Timothy? We thought about that? I'm sure we have. What's the main purpose that we think why Paul wrote the letters to Timothy? Well, one suggestion that we'd like to put forward to you is that whatever this main theme or this key message that Paul wants Timothy to understand, it's something that Timothy's going to have to take, internalize, understand, and then Timothy's going to have to explain it to the brothers and sisters at Ephesus. So whatever he's doing, it's got to help those brethren and sisters that are at the Ephesus Ecclesia. And I want us to keep that in mind as we go through this morning and as we look at the life of Timothy this week. So we see here in verse 5, I think there's a hint that we get, and we'd like to maybe make this as one suggestion as to one of the key themes for this book. Because we read in verse 5, Paul says, he says, "Now the end of the commandment is love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." The ESV renders that, "The aim of our charge is love." So Paul's saying to Timothy, "Timothy, the reason we're doing all of this, the reason you're standing up against these falsehoods and fables and false ideas," he's saying, "the reason you're doing this is because it's out of love. So the end is love." That's the purpose. He wants to get that across. It was Paul's motivation, brothers and sisters. And then we have to make that ours. Is that our motivation? Whatever we do for the brotherhood, whatever we do for each other, whatever we do this week, it needs to be with love as the end goal and the end purpose. That's really one of the key themes. And where did that motivation for Paul come from? Where did that motivation of love come from for Paul? Well, we see as we go through chapter 1, Paul doesn't leave us guessing as to where that motivation comes from. Paul was so motivated for love for the brothers and sisters that that motivation came from his realization of what he used to be. He remembered what he was like as Saul. So that's why we read in chapter 1, as you go through this section, he's reflecting back on what he used to be. He's, verse 12, for example, of 1 Timothy 1, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Look what he did for me. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. And because Paul had that always in his mind, it motivated him that he was going to do things for love for his brothers and sisters. He was going to have that kind of a love for his brothers and sisters. That was really his thing that drove him. Paul would reflect. He said, "I persecuted the saints. I ripped brothers and sisters out of houses. I made people scared. They fled all over the world at the time. And I was there at the consenting to the death of Stephen. And yet the Lord loved me." And I think that was a huge factor for Paul. That Timothy, no matter what we're going to instruct you, no matter all the things I'm going to say in this letter to you, no matter all the things that you're going to do for fighting and contending and warring the warfare, just remember, Timothy, the reason we're doing all of this is the end is love. It's the instruction of love. It's the aim of our charge is love. And that's what he was trying to get at. And we really think that that is a theme that he was trying to drive home, because Timothy's going to have to work with the brothers and sisters at Ephesus. And the nice thing about it is we're actually able to see almost the end of the story. So not only do we see the beginning, and we're not left kind of, what happened? What was the outcome of what Timothy was doing? What was the outcome of the instruction that Paul gave Timothy? We're actually able to see the end of the story. Well, if we turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and at verse 12. For us, none of us that I know of, unless you tell me privately later on, none of us that I know of have ever gone around persecuting the saints and speaking against the truth and doing all kinds of terrible things. So sometimes it's hard for us to relate to Paul as Saul. Many of us, perhaps, were brought up as Christadelphians. Not all, but some might have been brought up as Christadelphians. So we're probably not able to really relate to something like where Saul was going around and persecuting and making everybody fearful and going wherever he could to grab them and to put them into prison. But Paul wants us to relate to that in some sense, brothers and sisters. And he wants us to see this. And the reason we have to see ourselves as like that is because then we'll have a better appreciation for what Christ did for us. So when we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and at verse 12, we read some very, very tough words. Now, fortunately, it's not our words. This is the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, to the ecclesia where Timothy was left to instruct them. This is to that ecclesia. Look what's said here. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Brothers and sisters, that's us. We have to see ourselves like that. Before we were baptized, we were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were without hope. having no hope and without God in the world. Now, once we see ourselves like that, then we start to appreciate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we're going to remember this morning. That's what Paul's trying to get us to. We have to see ourselves like that. And sometimes in the truth, we don't. It's hard for us to identify with that because we're so used to either coming up through the Sunday school and so on, and then being able to attend different Bible schools and youth conferences and until baptism. Sometimes we don't really appreciate that, but we have to realize that that's what we were. And once we have an appreciation for that, it helps us to realize what Christ has done for us. We start to appreciate that. And it motivates us. And that was really appreciated by Paul. You can imagine how much he would have appreciated the love of Christ. He saw the purpose in Christ's work. In fact, he says, Jesus came to save sinners. He says, and I'm the chief. He says, I'm the chief sinner. So no doubt, Paul recognized. And just back when we're still in Ephesians there, in Ephesians chapter 3, and we read at verse 8, he says, this persecution that he did with the ecclesia, it never left them. All his life, it affected him. And he says, unto me, he says, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unto me, I'm the least worthy person in the world to be able to do this. And yet I'm able to teach the truth to people. Unbelievable. What I did and where I came from, God's able to do that with me. What a powerful thing that was. And Paul knew the brothers and sisters at Ephesus. He spent 3 years there. Over 3 years. And he knew those brothers and sisters well. Timothy knew them really well because he's amongst them. And he knows what they're like. And the ecclesia in Ephesus has a problem. And that problem is going to manifest itself many years later. After Paul's off the scene, Timothy's probably off the scene. And many years later, that problem that ecclesia has is going to manifest itself. And I think we get a hint at that problem when we look at the end of the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 23 and 24, we're starting to get just some little hints of that, of the problem that ecclesia had. By the way, it was a very good ecclesia. We're going to see that. It was a good ecclesia, but they had a problem. And in verse 23 and 24, as Paul concludes the letter to the Ephesians, he writes, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So twice at the end of the book of the Ephesians, as he's writing the letter to the Ephesian ecclesias, twice Paul concludes with love. There's some hints there that the brothers and sisters in Ephesus are having a problem with love. Now, when we just turn over to the end of the story, so to speak, we go to Revelations chapter 3. Sorry, Revelations chapter 2. In Revelations chapter 2, we read, and unto the angel of the ecclesia of Ephesus write, these sayings saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So there's some really good things that the Lord has to say about the Ephesian Ecclesia, the Ephesus Ecclesia. They stood for truth. They worked hard in the truth. They are often described as the working ecclesia. So they did listen to many of the things that Paul had written to Timothy, and that Timothy then would have instructed the brothers and sisters at Ephesus. They did listen in the sense that they labored hard. They fought hard against those that had the false doctrine. They heeded the warning. They fought against the truth breakers, the false accusers, the teachers of the law. They battled hard. They warred the warfare. And yet, brothers and sisters, they lost something along the way. They lost something in the fight. And that's the motivation that Paul saw in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. That was the motivation that Paul saw and the work that he came to do. You know, I think it's not a right concept to think of love over here and anger or even hatred over here. I think the real principle is that love and hatred are, or love and anger are right side by side, and they turn on a knife edge. And so you can be loving and you could turn on a knife edge. And I think what we see here is the apostle is saying to Timothy, that when you war the warfare, Timothy, make sure you realize why you're warring the warfare. Make sure you realize that it's out of love, Timothy. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the ecclesia at Ephesus and he says, you've labored, you fought hard against those who taught falsely, you did all of those things, but you turned, you lost something. And we see that in verse 4. You can imagine the ecclesia. I sometimes try to picture myself listening to this letter. If you're in the ecclesia at Ephesus, and you're saying, yeah, that's good. Yep, we like that. That's really good. He's really encouraging us. We have been patient, and for my name's sake, we've labored, we've not fainted. Yep, we've done all those things. And then the Lord says, nevertheless, here it comes. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, he says, because thou hast left thy first love. And so the brothers and sisters at Ephesus, who Paul and then Timothy spent so much time with, they had lost their first love. Now, you say, well, yes, but they labored, they fought, they did all of these things. It's not that bad. Well, read on. Look what it says. Jesus says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That's how serious it is. I will come unto thee and remove the lampstand from thee. If you don't get that aspect back in your life in the truth. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider Timothy, as we consider the ecclesia at Ephesus, as we consider the work of the Apostle Paul, we must remember as we go through these lessons that the aim of the whole study, the aim of the purpose of Paul and Timothy is love. It's about that. And it's the right kind of love. It's not tilting the balance another way. You have to stand up. You have to labor. You have to fight against these false things. But you just remember the motivation behind it. That's really what he's saying. You must do those things, but remember your motivation. Your motivation is love. Just keep our fingers here. We'll go back to Jeremiah chapter 2. This was really, you know, the prophet Jeremiah reminds Israel of what they used to be like. And it's a reflection almost of God reflecting on what his people used to be like. And sometimes it's good for us to reflect, here we are presently, what did we used to be like? And that's what he was trying to get the ecclesia at Ephesus to say. What were you like before Ephesus? And Jeremiah, in chapter 2, and in verses 2 and 3, we read, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto Yahweh, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon me, upon them, saith Yahweh." So he's remembering a time when Israel sought God. And the Lord is telling Ephesus to go back to your first love. Remember when you first loved me. And that is what Paul is focusing Timothy on. He wants Timothy to consider what Paul used to be like. And when he reflects on his life, it brings his sins before his mind. And he then sees the power in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a really wonderful quote that I wrote down when Brother Roger Lewis put one of his summary slides, and I'd like to just share that quote with you. I thought it was a really nice way to express this. Brother Roger says, he says, "Our part is to ponder the blessing of remission of sins in the blood of the Lamb. Only those who are deeply conscious of the reality of sin can truly understand the wonder of forgiveness and how our response should be seen in a life of daily gratitude to God and a pledge of daily faithfulness to Christ." I thought that was such a wonderful way of putting that. The more we realize what we were like and what we are like, the more we realize and the power in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize how dependent we are on what was done. And that's why Paul instructs us. He says, "Be ye a follower of me, even as I also am of Christ." Be ye a follower of me, as I am a follower of Christ. Because that was Paul's whole motivation in life. If that's what can be done for me, what could be done for you? If the Lord would do that for me, what would he do for you? And that was his motivation. It's interesting, too, because where Paul quotes that, everybody remember where he quotes that? That's from 1 Corinthians 11. And 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, and that's the chapter that Paul then gives us the instruction with desire, I have desire to eat this bread with you and to drink this cup. And that's the one that we often use at the memorial service. And that's how Paul actually starts that section off. Be you a follower of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. And then he lays out what we commonly use for the memorial service. Paul wanted the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw himself as an example for us for that purpose. In fact, back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and at verse 16, we read there that verse 16 says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should afterward believe on him to life everlasting." I'm a pattern. And that word pattern in the Greek has the idea of an example to follow, an outline, a sketch or a form to be filled in, as if it's a sketch and you fill it in. And Paul says, my life is a pattern like that. And you can watch that example. Look what the Lord did for me. I was like that. And look what Christ was able to do for me. And he can do the same for you, brothers and sisters. If we turn to God, He can do the same for us. We have that power. We have the forgiveness of our sins. What a wonderful thing that is. And as we partake of the emblems this morning, it's great for us to focus on that, because as we partake of the bread and the wine, we realize of the what our Lord Jesus Christ did. We think about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he was able to accomplish in that sacrifice. And everything Jesus did was for others. He did it out of love. And that's one of the things that we hope we get as we go through our studies this week, that the end of the purpose is love. Just over to chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, and we'll conclude with this section here in verses 4 to 6. As we partake of the emblems, the Apostle Paul, I think, really brings us to really this thinking. And he says, "For there is, verse 4, for who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He wants us all to be in the kingdom, brothers and sisters, young people. He wants us all to be in the kingdom. Remember where we've come from, and we'll better appreciate what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Because as we partake of the emblems, we can think of this: the aim of our instruction is love.